good. It's so good. It's so good. Hallelujah. Come on, is God good?
Amen.
Anybody thankful tonight?
Amen.
Come on. Hallelujah. Let's just thank Him for a minute. Lord, we thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your word tonight, Lord. We thank You, God, that You saved us, that You set us free, Lord. We thank You, God, that You gave us the ability to be in this room, Lord. And we thank You for everything that You've done, God. We just want to honor You and praise You and glorify You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the Bible? Come on, it's the Word of God. Did you know the Bible is called the Holy Bible? That means the Holy Book, right? It means the Holy Book. But why is it holy? Because it's God's Word to us. Did you know there was a day when you couldn't, a common person like us, we couldn't read the Bible? Why? Because they weren't available. You had to go to the synagogue, and then you had to be one of the smart ones, and then they would turn around and tell it to the people. But when the printing press came about, and they started printing them off, and they started printing them in everybody's language, man, God speaks to us every day if we'll pick up the Bible and read it. Isn't that good? So I'm thankful for the Bible. But tonight, I just want to talk about why I'm thankful for Jesus. Come on. We can thank Him for our wife. We can thank Him for our house. We can thank Him. But I'm thankful for Jesus. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Why are we thankful for Jesus? What did He do? And when's the last time we just spent any time thanking Him? Just thinking about Jesus and thanking God for sending Him, but thanking Jesus for doing what He did. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I remember when I first got saved and I grew up in church, so I knew all the stories. You know, at Christmas time we learned about, you know, the virgin birth, and we learned about everything else. And at Easter time, you know, I grew up Catholic, so we had Palm Sunday and Ash Wednesday before you put the ash on your forehead. And I knew all the Bible stories, but I didn't know Him. And then one day I gave my heart to Jesus, and He made Himself known to me. Right? Oh, man, that's so good. Look, if you will, at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to look at some things. And I want you to be thankful tonight for Jesus. By the time we leave here tonight, I want you just to have a thankful heart. And my goal is that by the time we finish tonight, you'll be able to go home and think about this and not let your head hit the pillow and fall asleep until you've spent some time just saying, God, thank You. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for Jesus. I mean, you know, in this country, we celebrate Thanksgiving, and that's awesome. And I'm so thankful for this country. But the reality is the most important thing that we need to be thankful for is for Jesus. And we'll explain why. But look at verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, who the Word, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Woo! Now just drop down to verse 14, and we'd go through all of it, but watch this. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Godhead, the second person of the Godhead, who was always has been, always, you know, will be, the creator of everything that you see, became flesh. He took on the form of man. We're going to see that a little bit closer. But He stripped Himself of all of His divine rights and became a man, and that's really important that He did. But I thank God, first of all, you know, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, God gave Jesus, but Jesus obeyed the Father and said, I'll go. It's so good. And he was the first fruit of many brethren. What does that mean? Because Jesus came, died, was resurrected. I'm now identified in the resurrection. Because, and this is so mind-blowing, but it's so true, that God, divinity, became human so that humanity could take on divinity. Now, I'm not saying we're gods. But what I'm saying is that God's Spirit now lives on the inside of us. And the attributes of God come to us. In 1 Peter, it says that we now have the divine nature. What does that mean? We're like Him. Now, go back up to verse 3 of chapter 1 and watch this, because it's really interesting. And we'll explain it, but I'm just thankful for Jesus. Do you love Jesus tonight? Come on, is Jesus real to you tonight? Hallelujah. I just believe we can get so that it wouldn't be that much different if Jesus walked into the room, because we're already so acquainted with them. I mean, that'd be wonderful, and I'm all for that if he wants to do that, right? I'll sit down if he wants to get up and speak. But the reality is I just want to know him. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Why the power of his resurrection? Because that's what identifies me with him. So good. But look at this. Verse 3, it says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. So every time you look at something, you look at the mountains. Come on. You look at a river, and we live in the Puget Sound, so you water everywhere. Right? You go over the Narrows Bridge, and we just get used to it. But you go over it, and if you really stop and think about it, man, that's magnificent. Jesus made that. Jesus made that. So it's really okay for you to go across the Narrows Bridge or go up into the mountains or wherever you're at and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You created all this. I mean, we live in a place where the trees, just an abundance of trees. So we take trees for granted. But they're magnificent. They're huge. And they're just God. You did all this. And you made it all work together. But it was Jesus. I'm thankful that he's my creator. I'm thankful that he created everything that's around me. Hallelujah. And look at that. In him was life, and life was the light of men. In Jesus was life. What life is he talking about? Well, I believe that's all life, but specifically for human beings, it's the life that God breathed into Adam when he formed Adam out of the dust. Now, I'll just say it this way, that a man, and most of you know this, but let's just review this, that I am a spirit being, I have a soul, and I live in a body. And with the spirit part of me, I connect to God. And the life that he's talking about is that connection with him. Because he is the life. I'm so thankful that even though I was yet a sinner, he died for the ungodly. Right? Jesus gave me life. Jesus is that life. So we know this. You say, well, you know, I'm a good person. Well, who are you comparing yourself to? Right? I mean, most of us can find somebody that we're better than. Right? I mean, you know, come on. Sometimes it's harder for some of us than others, but we can find it. But here's the reality. When our great 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 decided that Satan was right and God was wrong, God told them, if you eat of the tree of good and of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll surely die. So here's what happened. When they ate of that tree, they didn't necessarily die physically. And their soul, their mind, and their will and emotions were still intact. But they died spiritually. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean that they ceased to exist. It means that their connection with God was severed. Here's what I'm so grateful for. I'm grateful that Jesus didn't give up on me. Amen. Didn't give up on mankind. Didn't say, that's it. Let's start over. Right? Let's go to Mars or someplace else and do this thing because this clearly didn't work. He didn't give up on us. I'm thankful that Jesus, watch this, is my Redeemer. Come on, He's my Redeemer. What does that mean? To redeem something means that you pay a price to buy back what was taken. And maybe not even taken. The best analogy I think that there is, I've never done this in my life, but some people have, where they needed some money, and so they said, I've got this guitar, and I'm going to take it to the pawn shop and see how much they'll give me on it. So really what it is a loan, but the principle is, I'm going to the pawn shop, I'm going to give the guitar, and he's going to give me some money for it. They give you what they call a redemption ticket. And what that ticket is there's a value on it. So say you got $100 for the guitar, right? And they say, well, okay, here's the redemption ticket, but it's going to cost you $150. So you take, once you get the price for that ticket, $150, you can have the guitar back. Jesus became my Redeemer because He paid the price so that I could get back to God. Adam sold us out. He sold us out, but Jesus redeemed us. I'm so glad and thankful that my Redeemer lives. Will I know my Redeemer lives? Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Come on, I'm thankful that He's my Redeemer. He's the one who didn't give up on me. And that's mankind altogether, right? But me personally. Aren't you glad that God and Jesus don't give up on you? Because I'm sure that since you've gotten saved, you've never made any mistakes. You know, you've never said the wrong thing, done the wrong thing, thought the wrong thing. You've been perfect ever since. But the reality is that still all of us fall, and we still need the redemptive work of Jesus. And you see, we quoted earlier John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But I love the next verse, and just turn there, because this is so good. And you ought to be thanking God for Jesus, but thanking Jesus for what He did. John chapter 3. And we'll start out verse 15. It says, whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have an eternal life. You see, the way that we get to be able to be redeemed is that we believe that Jesus is the Redeemer. We say Christ, but Christ is just the Greek form for the Hebrew word Messiah. The Messiah is the one who came to redeem. So when we say Jesus Christ, we're really saying He's Jesus, the one who saved me, redeemed me. And the way that I enter into that redemption is The first step is, and we all know this, we have to come to the place where we decide and know that we need a Redeemer. And that takes some humility. Right? Before I got saved, I thought I had it all together. Oh, man, I knew what I wanted. I knew where I was going. I can do things my own way. But as everybody will find out, you doing things your own way will always get you in trouble. And really, when you're operating in that, because your spirit is dead, you're actually living out of your soul. What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So you're just going to be driven by whatever emotion you have, by whatever you will, whatever things are going on. But when we get born again, we're supposed to die to our emotions, our flesh, our soul, and live in our spirit. But Jesus redeemed that. Okay, look at verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son," that's Jesus, "that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son, Jesus, into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Jesus isn't my condemner. Thank you, Jesus. He's my Redeemer. He's not the one up there going, "Oh, you blew it, man. Get out of my sight." Right? He's not the one with His foot on my head going, "Man, am I ever sorry you were born?" He's the one that's saying, "I created you for purpose." The enemy tried to steal, distort, and rob the purpose that I had for mankind. But I sent Jesus to redeem man back to me. I'm grateful He's my Redeemer. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Thank you for the price that you paid. He's my Redeemer. He saved me. He didn't come in to condemn me. He came to bring me back to God. Do you know I can talk to God with assurance now because Jesus paid the price for me? I can come boldly before the throne of grace because I don't have to come on my own effort by me being good enough, but I can identify with Jesus because Jesus has become my sanctification. Well, let's just turn there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Aren't you glad Jesus died for you? Nobody's glad. Okay. Aren't you glad, go on, that Jesus died for you? Look at this. Verse 29 says, "But no flesh should glory in His presence." In other words, God, it's like this. God, here I am. I'm your special one. I do this the best. I do that the best. Aren't I special? Nobody should ever do that. And if you're ever in God's sight, you go, "I'm not that special." Right? Compared to His glory. But look at this. Verse 30. "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us." Jesus became for me. Wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Let's just break that down just a little bit. Jesus became for me wisdom from God. God shares His thoughts with me. I have the mind of Christ because of what my big brother Jesus did. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Thank you, Jesus. Now watch this. He became my righteousness. What does that mean? My right to stand before God is because Jesus became sin. Come on. Or the sin offering or the sin sacrifice so that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now look at, I'm not saying that I'm righteous because of Bruce, but I am righteous because of my faith in what Jesus did. Come on. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price so that I could come back to God and be with Him. Mm-mm-mm. Watch this. Do you know what sanctification means? There's many different people, many different groups. There's some groups of Christians, bless their heart, I'm sanctified. Glory to God. I'm of the sanctified. And really, part of me thinks that they're saying, I'm more special than somebody else. And all that is pride. Right? But sanctification, to sanctify means to set apart. It's set apart. So Jesus paid the price so that I could be set apart for God. Set aside, set in a different category, placed in a different place because I'm sanctified. Oh, that's so good. I'm sanctified and I'm redeemed. Glory to God. Jesus did it all. Hallelujah. And it says this, verse 31, it says, that is, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Are you thankful to Jesus tonight? Come on. Go with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 is the absolute blueprint of Jesus' sacrifice. It is the greatest prophetic chapter in the whole Bible about Jesus. And really, if, watch this, if the folks that were living when Jesus was born would have looked at him and lived through the filter of Isaiah 33, they would have said, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the heater just kicked on, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he's the one. He's the Messiah. Because he fulfilled all of this. And so we're going to look at that. Hallelujah. Look at this in verse 3. It says, he's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. In other words, Jesus came and the people that he came to save, the people that were that he was promised to fulfill the promise, they didn't esteem him. They didn't see him for who he was. But let me tell you, he came to the Jew first. Let me say that again. He came to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. But I'm telling you, that we're living in the day where the Jew is being brought back to the Messiah. God is revealing himself again to the Jewish people like never before. There are more believers in Jesus in the Jewish community than has ever been. Glory to God, we live in that day. But watch, now watch. But the first time, they didn't see him. The reason that they didn't see him is because they were had an expectation that Jesus was going to come as the lion the first time. But he didn't come as the lion the first time. He came as the lamb. What do I mean by that? The lamb represents the sacrifice for sin. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. So Jesus came the first time to be the sacrificial lamb so that we could be saved. But he's coming again as the lion. What do I mean? When he comes the next time, he's going to come with fire. He's going to come with the sword. He's going to come and he's going to establish his kingdom on this earth. Glory to God. I'm glad I'm going to be with him at that day. Look at verse 4. Surely, everybody say surely, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Surely he's borne our griefs. Glory to God. He's borne our griefs. What does that mean? It's so good. What that means is everything that I should be getting because of the guilt of my sin and the effect of that, he's taken care of. What does that mean? That I can, when I go to stand before God one day, I'm going to stand before him holy because he's already dealt with my iniquity. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Now look at it again. This is a picture of Jesus. He's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus did that for me. Jesus did that for you. So tonight we can say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let me see this God so I can thank you properly. Verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. What does that mean? Here's the deal. When Adam sinned, the relationship with man before God was broken, and the Bible says that we were enmity, or in other words, we'd say we were enemies, or we were on the different sides of the battle or the conflict. But Jesus, when he bore our sins on the cross, he paid the price, come on, so that I can now have peace with God. I can have peace with God. Let me just tell you a story that I think is pretty incredible, and I think it kind of summarizes some things. Some of us are old enough, and most of us in the room are old enough to remember when East Germany and West Germany were divided after World War II. In fact, Berlin is really interesting. There was a wall going through Berlin, which was all in East Germany, but in that city that was still separated west and east. Well, because the communists, after they divided Germany and the communists got east and the western got the western, but there was a day President Reagan was by the Berlin Wall and he said, "Tear down that wall." And it wasn't too much longer that the wall came down. What happened when that wall came down? Cousins, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers were reunited. Because now they could freely go back and forth. Because that wall separated family. Family. You know, cousin, whatever her name was living over, you know, watch this, in Berlin. They could be 2 miles apart, but could never see them because of the wall that separated them. Well, you see, when sin came, there was a wall that happened between God and man. But when Jesus came, the wall was torn down. Glory to God. Glory to God. What does that mean? That I can now freely go to God because I've been redeemed by His blood. I'm thankful that He took my chastisement. I'm thankful that by His stripes we are healed. Glory to God. I believe that means spiritually healed, physically healed, mentally healed. Glory to God. But that's a whole different story. Hallelujah. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm thankful that Jesus became the sacrificial lamb so that I could be redeemed back to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have you ever thought about and ever pictured in your mind the agony that Jesus went through when he was hanging on the cross? Now, many of us have seen the Passion of the Christ and how grotesque that was and how gruesome that movie was, but I don't think it told the whole story. And I think Mel Gibson did a wonderful job on it. And I can remember going to it. I can remember after the movie was over, just sitting in the chair, just going. And there was a whole group of us in there in that theater, but nobody moved. It was bizarre. But it was because of the impact that he did that. And they were afraid before the movie came out that it would bring on anti-Semitism because people would blame the Jews. But that's not the sense that I got at all. The sense that I got is that he suffered all of that because I sinned. Because of my past, because of what I've done. But he did it freely. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you took the stripes on your back. See, he said, I could have called legions of angels. And 10,000s of thousands of angels would have come down, wiped everybody out. And I didn't have to go through this. But he did it for you and me. That's not good. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't give up on me. Think about that. He's nailed up on the cross and unrecognizable on the cross. In other words, you'd have to look at him. Is that really Jesus? Why? Because his beard was plucked out. The crown of thorn, we see that and we go, well, the thorns were about this long and about that big around, and they came to a point. And when they put that on his head, they shoved it into his head. I'm not trying to gross you out. I'm just trying to tell you why we should be thankful for what Jesus did. He suffered that for you and me. He didn't have, there was no reason he should be on the cross except that he was taking my place. Right? But you see, that wasn't why he was grieved so much on the cross. He was grieved on the cross because he took our sin. And he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? There was the first time in eternity that there was something between him and his Father. And he did that so that he could erase what was between me and the Father. Thank you, Jesus. He died on the cross for me. He died on the cross for me. Now, many people have rejected him. Many people think they don't need him. But I'm telling you, in order to be with God, you need him. So what do we come to church for? Jesus. What do we pray for? Because of Jesus. Why do we sing worship songs? Because of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 4 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, he chose you. He chose me in him. What does that mean? That means that God, and this is way above my pay grade, so I can't explain it to you, but God is the beginning. And he is the end and everything in between. How that all works, I don't know. But God knew in the beginning that Adam would fall. So from the foundation of the world, he had a plan to buy us back. Why? Because you, sitting in the chair right now, you at home, you are so valuable to God that he paid the price so that you could be redeemed back to Him. So good, so good, so good. How much does God love you? Let me say it a different way. How much does God value you? How much does He value you? I've said this many times, but it bears repeating, that the value of something is what somebody is willing to pay for it. You might have a 1952 DeSoto that you think is the best car that was ever made, and you want to sell it, and you go, man, this thing is worth $100,000, but you put it on Craigslist and nobody calls. And you bring the price down, the price down, the price down, the price down, and somebody comes up and says, I'll give you $2,000 for it. The value is what somebody will pay for it, not what you think it's worth. Right? Well, God evidently thought you were pretty valuable because the price that He paid for you was His own Son. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so incredibly enthralled with that. But watch this now. That we should be holy and without blame. Read this again. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm chosen before the foundation of the world that I should be called holy. Or this kind of the same word, the same idea as sanctified or separated. I've been separated from the world to be with God. That's not something I'm looking for. That's not something that I'm trying to earn. That's something that Jesus has already paid the price for me for. That we should be called holy and without blame before Him in love. What does that mean? What that means, because of Jesus, and I'm so thankful, I'm so grateful to Him for this, there is no more blame for you. You know what's associated with blame? Shame. If you have something to be blamed for, there's shame that's associated with that, unless your heart is completely out of whack. But if we all died right now, nuclear bomb comes and we're all dead, our bodies would be dead, but our spirits would still be alive. And we'd be in the presence of God. And the first thing that I think that you'd notice is there's 100% lack of shame. No, none, zip. You would feel zero shame. Zero shame. I remember once I hadn't been saved very long, a few months, and I had a dream, and the reason that it stuck out to me is because I, at the time, and even now, rarely ever remember my dreams. But I don't, as Paul said, I don't know whether it was in my body or out of my body, but I had this dream, and I was up here looking down at a hospital bed with my body in the bed. And there was people and machines all around it, and I was looking down at it, and the only thing I can remember is the incredible sense of peace. I'm completely at peace. Going, well, that's kind of weird, but I'm at peace. And I heard another man who talked about, you know, he'd gone into cardiac arrest and they lost him. And he was gone for, you know, a little bit and then came back into his body. And he said, the thing that I remember the most, and when he said this, I went, yeah, that was that. He said, it was the complete absence of shame in the presence of God. Complete absence of shame. Tonight, because we're still in our bodies and we're still dealing with the effects of the accuser of the brethren, we might feel guilty about something that Jesus has already paid the price for us to be away from the shame. You don't have to be ashamed any longer. We look at ourselves by what we do or what we have or what we don't have, or, you know, we're embarrassed or we're not very confident or whatever because of shame that we feel that we're not as good as, or we're not this or we're not that. I mean, addiction comes from shame. I believe there's so many things that are associated with that, but if we could just get to the point where Jesus paid the price for me. Thank you, Lord, so that I don't have to be ashamed anymore because I'm without blame. You might blame me. You might tell me what I did wrong. You might, and I might need to repent of some things, but the reality is that's not separating me from the love of God, because nothing, it says in Romans, can separate me from the love of God because of Jesus. Look at this verse 5. It says, "And having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved." Because Jesus paid the price, became my Messiah, I'm now accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted. You're not rejected. Do you know how many people walk around in the state of rejection? And it comes out in many different ways. I did this and it was wrong, and I did that and it was wrong. Or somebody has told me that I was this. And we walk around in that. If we get a glimpse of what Jesus did, we'd walk around in the state of acceptance instead of the state of rejection. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I loved what I was listening to. I don't know if you know him, but Pastor Robert Morris today. And he was talking about being free. And one of the keys to being free is quit believing the lie. Quit believing the lie. And what does that mean? Well, I'll just give you an example. This is a silly example, but I grew up and obviously I have red hair. Or it's not as red as it used to be, right? It's not as long as it used to be either. But I'd get teased about my red hair. And I can remember, you know, teenage girls being very cruel about my red hair. So I had a complex that I was ugly because I had red hair. And I believed that lie for years. For years. But it's a lie, right? You are beautifully made by God just the way you are. And the enemy would try to get you to say, no, you're less than, because he wants you in the shame, where Jesus has paid the price so that I'm accepted in the Beloved. Right? If you know you're accepted, then rejection can't be a part of you. You got to quit listening to that lie. Anyway, I got to hurry. In Him, verse 7, says that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Go to chapter 2. Now, I heard for years and years and years, and it's true, you need to get in the Bible. You know, you need to be in the Bible. You need to be reading the Bible. You need to get into the Bible. But I think it's just as important to get the Bible into you. Right? You can read a lot. In fact, there's times where you can, I'm supposed to read a chapter. I'm going to read this chapter. Blah, 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 and you get through it and you go, got my chapter in. And like many, you go, well, what'd you read? I don't know. What did it say? I don't remember. It's not that. It's like getting the Bible in you. And Jerry O'Neill told the story of how that one day that God put this into him, that he had to put himself into the Bible. In other words, when the story was being taught or the verses, put yourself in that picture. And so for the next couple of seconds, that's exactly what I want you to do. Verse 1 of chapter 2 of Ephesians says, "And you, He made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins." Put yourself in there. Jesus, God did this through the work of Jesus. I'm so grateful for Jesus. And you, tonight, you. Every one of us who've accepted Jesus, right? made us alive. That means He brought us back to Him, and that life that was in Jesus, that is Jesus, is now a part of us. It says, He made you alive who were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also once conducted ourselves with the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Come on. In other words, everybody's in the same boat. Everybody. I don't care how holy you think you are. If you don't have Jesus, you're in the same boat. But, verse 4, God. But God. Thank you, God. Who is rich in mercy. I love it. Is rich in mercy. Because of His great love for which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you are saved. Somebody said the difference between mercy and grace is mercy is not getting what you do deserve, but grace is getting what you don't deserve. Think about that for just a minute. Because of Jesus, I'm not going to get what I deserve. But because of Jesus, I'm going to get a lot that I don't deserve. Is that cool? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He's now read this and put yourself in this. And made Bruce alive together with Christ. What is it? Together with. Together with. What does that mean? Just like. Just like. Just like Jesus is right to be in the presence of God, I am. Because He made me that way. Come on. Do we have anything to thank Jesus for tonight? Come on. Jesus, I thank You, Lord, that You're the bright and morning star. I thank You, Jesus, that You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. I thank You, Lord, that You're the Redeemer. I thank You, Lord, that You were and that You are and that You're coming again. Lord, I thank You that You're going to take us back to heaven with You, God. I thank You that You said that You supply all of our needs. God, I thank You that through Jesus, every sin is wiped away. I want to thank You, Jesus, because You are my Redeemer. You're my Sanctifier. You're the one who took my condemnation. You're the one who made me loved. You're the one. Jesus, You're the one. You're the one. You're the one who called me friend. You're the brother. You're the one who sticks closer than a brother. You're the one. You're the one. You're the one that I can call out to and You'll be there for me. Lord Jesus, thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for accepting me. Thank You for coming. Thank You for being who You are. Thank You for not giving up on me. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we're about to celebrate in a week Thanksgiving. And it's really about the day that America just turns back and says, the only reason that we're here is because You established us on this continent. But Lord, I just want to make every day Thanksgiving. And giving thanks to You because You deserve our thanks. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. And Lord, I thank You that even now by Your Spirit that You're revealing Yourself to the hearts of all of us. But maybe specifically tonight for some who've never really had a personal relationship with You. Maybe you've come to church. Maybe you've been in church. Maybe you've been with people. I know all about Jesus, but He's not really personal to you. I'm telling you tonight, you can ask Him to. He'll become your personal Savior. I think there's some steps that need to happen. First of all, you need to recognize that you need a Savior. How do you do that? You understand that you're not perfect in yourself. You understand you've made mistakes. You understand that nobody can go before God in their own ability, that you need Jesus. The second is that you believe in your heart that Jesus is who the Bible says, who I presented tonight. He is who He said He is. And the third thing is that you say, I believe in my heart, so I'm saying it with my mouth. You have to do both. That Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. What you're saying is that He is my Messiah. And so I'm going to lay my life down and pick His up and live for Him from this time forward. You can do that by yourself. You can do that with a group of people. But once you do it, let somebody know, I made Jesus the Lord of my life. Hallelujah. Father, I just ask You to bless everybody that came tonight, Lord. For those that are suffering in their bodies, I just ask You to touch them in Jesus' name. Satan, I bind Your powers off of people. And right now, God, I just ask You for Your delivering hand upon the suffering in Jesus' name. I thank You that, Jesus, You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if You healed people yesterday, You'll heal them today, and You'll still be healing them tomorrow. You're the healer of the brokenhearted. You're the one who provides for all of our needs. Lord, we just thank You for all that You've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen.